You're listening to the All Americans Podcast on ESPNRochester.com and WGR550.com.
It was the worst time, the first time it ever went sour. Things fell apart, TC was the letdown. Learned then to never go back.
Let's get this started, shall we? All right, welcome into the All Americans Podcast. This is episode one of the podcast, and it's the pilot episode, I like to call it. There's a start with everything, and this is where we start here with episode number one. And I'm really looking forward to getting this podcast underway and going through this podcast on, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it every other week, just so every other week we have a little more to talk about rather than do it every week and maybe not have so much, you know, so little to talk about. I want to be able to bring a good amount of content for everybody for this podcast, but the preface of this first episode is I just want to go through probably just a little bit about what to expect from the podcast. Obviously, I would love everyone's feedback if possible. If you can give me ideas, if you can give me some interesting concepts for a podcast, because, you know, this is kind of my first venture into the podcast world. I love listening to podcasts, but, you know, I never had the chance to start my own podcast until now. This is my first podcast adventure that I'm starting out with, and I think it's a really cool thing to get into. So I'm always open to suggestions. I'm always open to just any ideas that, you know, you, the listeners, want to throw at me. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at BJWilsonWGR. You can tweet us at ESPN Rochester. You can also tweet us at WGR550. On Twitter for WGR, because of course this podcast will be available at the on-demand section at WGR550.com. It'll also be available on demand at ESPNRochester.com. And if I'm correct, I believe we are going to be on iTunes and maybe on Google Play. So I'll double check those, of course, with you. But you can always get a hold of me. And I think what I'm going to start doing is when I put out the questions out there, when I say to people, hey, I'm podcasting, you know, today, tomorrow, or whenever I'm going to podcast, I'll put out a tweet and I'll say, you could tweet me, you could tweet ESPN Rochester, you could tweet WGR550, and then use the hashtag All Americans. So I think that's what's going to happen is you could tweet at any of those and then use the hashtag All Americans. And if you have a question, if you have a comment on what's going on with the Amerks and how they're playing or anything really, what's going on in the AHL, what's going on with the Sabres, feel free. This is a podcast where I want to cover a lot of American stuff. Of course, we're going to have interviews. We're going to have some special co-hosts sometimes. But I mean, this podcast is really all about you and just getting you in the know of what's going on in Rochester, what's going on in the organization, what's going on behind the scenes. What are some of the cool events that are coming up here in Rochester coming up for, during Amherst games? There's some cool stuff that have already happened. Hocktoberfest was yesterday. We're recording, just so everybody knows, as of Saturday right now, this is Saturday. So yesterday at Blue Cross Arena was Hocktoberfest. So, if you were at the game, you probably saw Moose running around in the Lederhosen. So, yeah, some really cool events, not only for the community here, but also for your family if you want to come out. There's an event coming up next weekend that I'll talk a little bit about. I'll get you some more details on that. But really, right now, this is a podcast where I just want you to be able to listen in and get informed. And if you ever have any suggestions, and I mean any suggestions, please let me know. Feel free to get a hold of me some way. Also, another thing that I'm interested in and I'd love to hear your feedback on is whether or not instead of having Twitter or, you know, on top of having Twitter, I also have like an email address. I would love to be able to take longer feedback from people, whether that be, you know, a long list of things you want to talk about. If you want to rant or something and you have a rant, feel free to write me up. I was thinking about creating an email for the All Americans podcast, specifically for the All Americans podcast, where you can email the podcast. You can write as much content as you want. You can write whatever you want, ask what you want. And I can get feedback that way. So that's a suggestion that if you're open to, please feel free to let me know at BJ Wilson WGR on Twitter. That is where I am right now. So again, I'm open to all suggestions. Let me know. I hope you take a listen to this podcast. And right away, if you've got ideas, let me know. Just hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up any way possible. and we'll get this thing started because I am really, really looking forward to keeping everybody up to date. This is just an idea that I kind of had once I found out that this job was a possibility with becoming the in-game host of the Amherst broadcasts on ESPN Rochester, 95.7 FM, 950 AM. And this has been a really, really fun ride so far for the first few weeks of the season, as the Amherst are actually playing really good. And it's been fun watching them be able to turn things around, dating back to last year too, when Chris Taylor came in and he took over as head coach, when Randy Sexton came in as general manager. Well, first it was Jason Bottrell that came in as general manager of the Sabres organization, and then Jason brought in Randy Sexton to be the general manager in Rochester. Both of those guys have done a marvelous job of building this team in Rochester and keeping assets, acquiring assets that have been able to come in and be key vital parts of this team. And it's been a lot of fun being able to follow with this team and be able to watch last year's string of success with them being able to get back to the playoffs. And unfortunately, it ended in the wrong way with Syracuse sweeping the Amherst in the first round of the playoffs. But this year seems like it's already a year where we could be seeing a lot more success coming from this Amherst group. And it's already showing a little bit right off the start this season. But just before we get really into the podcast, I also just want to let you know there's some cool little thing that I had for an idea for a podcast that I'm going to apply to this podcast is, of course, when you open up with the podcast, I'm interested in getting a cool, you know, voiceover guy saying, "Hey, this is the All Americans podcast," or, you know, some corny line before that, and then saying, "This is the All Americans podcast on ESPNRochester.com and WGR550.com, yada, 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 yada." Every time that we open the show, what I want to do is I want to have a song that I can play, and periodically I'll play some songs as well throughout the podcast of certain, you know, songs that have been on the old EA NHL soundtracks. And the one that you just heard there was actually from NHL 2003 by the band Gob. And the song is called "I've Been Up These Steps." The song that I'm most familiar with was Gob is O. Ellen because it's in NHL 04. And I think NHL 04 is the best NHL game of the franchises. But, you know, if you ever want to hear a certain song from the NHL soundtracks, always feel free to, you know, let me know as well. Hit me up and let me know what you'd like to hear. And one day you might hear it. You might just hear something come up on the podcast. And, you know, I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to having some fun and making this podcast maybe sound at least somewhat good. I will admit, this podcast isn't going to sound perfect because I'm new to the podcast world. And I'm sure that there's going to be some bumps along the way, but this is going to be hopefully fun for me, hopefully fun for you. And please, anytime you have any suggestions, hit me up on Twitter at BJ Wilson WGR. All right, enough talking about this nonsense or whatever. Let's get right into the details of what's going on in Rochester. The Amherst have played 7 games so far. And they are 5-2-0-0 with 10 points in the standings. That's first place in the North Division. And also, it should be first place in the entire league. Let me just double check that real quick because I did not write that down as part of my notes, which I should have. But yeah, they're tied for the league lead in points so far. Of course, the team that is up at the top of the league standings as of today, Saturday, is Charlotte. They've won 5 games. In 5 games played, they have 10 points. They are one of the only teams to have gone unbeaten so far. Actually, they're the only team to go unbeaten so far. They've only played 5 games and they have 5 wins. So the only other teams that have like one loss in the standings is Tucson and San Jose. They've got 4 wins and each of them have 1 shootout loss. So they have 9 points and the Amherst are right up at the top with Charlotte. Of course, they played 2 more games. So they've got 10 points. In the North Division, they're on top of the Eastern Conference. They're also on top, right up there with Charlotte, on top of the AHL overall standings. But the Amherst, of course, after losing the first 2 games to Charlotte, which those games were pitiful, we'll get a little bit into that. I wouldn't say pitiful. They were It was tough to watch. Let's just go with that. It was tough to watch. We'll get a little more into it in a little bit. But since then, the Amerks have won five straight games. Five straight. And Charlotte, of course, they're the only other team in the league right now that has won five straight games. So Rochester has played really well in these last five games. Here's some of the things that kind of stand out with Rochester since the start of the season. They have the most goals for in the entire league this season at 28. They've been scoring a lot, which is very good. They've gotten some scoring from guys and some more guys than not, but, you know, hey, they're at least scoring goals. They're putting up points. The Amerks on the power play, they have the second best power play in the entire American Hockey League at 35.5% conversion. That is just second to Bakersfield, who's like 35.7% on the power play. So Rochester's power play has been playing very well. And another positive note is that the Amerks have had the most power play opportunities with 31, and they've been able to convert on their chances. So they're getting the power play opportunities and they're converting, which is a very, very good thing for the Amerks. So their power play is rolling, but I think one thing that maybe head coach Chris Taylor is going to want to work on and make sure that they shore up, you know, as the season goes on, is the penalty kills, because through seven games, the penalty kills just 69%, which you know, a lot of people would see that and say, nice. Well, it's not so nice, because they're tied for third last in the league. They're tied with Ontario right now, but only Stockton and Lehigh Valley are worse off. They're worse off at like 67.7%, and Ontario and Rochester are both at 69. So they've got to take care of that, but they also have to take care of just themselves staying out of the penalty box. They've taken 29 penalties in seven games. That's over four penalties per game. That's not good. They're third worst in the entire league through seven games, and they've really got to watch themselves and try and stay out of the penalty box and be disciplined in their game, because if they can't, then they're going to give the other teams opportunities, and if the penalty kill continues to struggle, it's not going to get ugly. Or it's going to get ugly, but it's not going to be a problem, though, if the power play continues to succeed at the pace that they're at, and you know, we'll see how that goes, because, again, we're only through seven games of the season. And through the first seven games, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. But we'll, of course, get into that in a little bit. Let's talk about some of the players here, because this has been very interesting with how things have gone and how some people have turned things around. And I tweeted it out yesterday. I tweeted it out at BJ Wilson WGR. Some notes from the Amerks win over the Toronto Marlies on Friday night, last night if you're listening today, and Friday night if you're listening at another date. But looking at some of the stats for the Amerks, I'm going to talk about the leading scorers and a couple of other players as well. Let's start off, of course, with Victor Olofsson. He's the reigning AHL Player of the Week, as he has 13 points, which is 5 goals and 8 assists in 7 games this season. He leads the American Hockey League with points, and he's averaging 1.86 points per game. And that's through 7 games, which is really, really good for a guy who comes over from the Swedish Hockey League last year and led the league in scoring with 27 goals in 50 games. 27 goals in the Swedish Hockey League is kind of a rarity, because, you know, over the past few years, there has been a guy that scored more than maybe 25 goals since the 2014-15 season. So scoring was down a little bit across the league. But Olofsson, last year in the league, was putting up goals. He was scoring. A lot of them were on the power play, mind you. But, I mean, he has one heck of an incredible shot. I mean, the way that puck comes off his stick. Actually, you know what? I've got a compilation here that I can play for you guys. We talked to a lot of people before the season, after we had signed Olofsson to a contract. Here's a compilation of some of what everybody else had to say.
So he was the best goal scorer in the Swedish league this season. He's a sniper, got a really good shot, and he's able to pick the corners.
He's a sniper. He really know how to put the puck in the net.
You will pretty quick notice that he has an incredible wrist shot. By far, I would say the best wrist shot you'll see in the SHL, or now he's coming over. He's a really good goal scorer. He's a good skater, has all the tools to become a good NHL player.
I don't know how you want to take this, but best shot I've ever seen. I don't know what it is, the way he shoots, but he can rip the puck.
He is a true goal scorer. He has the best wrist shot I've seen. It's really a sniper. We put him into a power play where he should be the first option shooting every time, and he's not just about the offense. He can backcheck, he can forecheck better. He's a great skater, and his best areas is his shooting. He has a tremendous shot.
It's the manner and how he scores, and like the puck is off his stick so quickly. His release is something, frankly, that you can't teach. You know, we could sit here and spend the next 5 years trying to teach our players how to shoot like Victor Olofsson, and I'm not sure we could do that.
Of course, that last comment came from Steve Greeley, the Sabres assistant general manager, who has spent a lot of time over in Sweden as he was, you know, scouting some guys and watching over some of the prospects over there. One of the guys that he was able to watch close and kind of convinced to come here was Lawrence Pilate. We'll talk a little bit about Pilate in just a little bit. But Olofsson, just his shot is very unique with the way it comes off of his stick. And spoiler alert, we'll be talking to Victor Olofsson in just a little bit here on the All Americans podcast, as he will join me in just a moment. But so he's got 13 points in 7 games, 1.86 points per game. And we mentioned the power plays. 7 of the points that he has scored have come on the power play, but only one of those goals have come on the power play. So he has 1 goal and 6 assists on the power play. The other 4 of his goals and 2 of his assists have come at even strengths, which is pretty good. And Olofsson, of course, is tied for the AHL lead in game-winning goals, and he scored both of those game-winning goals in Bridgeport when he scored with 1 minute to go in the first game. Last Saturday, he took the puck, and he went around the defenseman, protected the puck on his backhand, and then he just let go of a high backhand, over the shoulder of the goaltender for Bridgeport. And then on Sunday, Olofsson takes the puck in his own zone, goes through center, goes literally right in the middle of 3 defensemen for Bridgeport. He kind of turns his body a little bit, kind of curls the puck, and then just lets go of a really quick wrist shot that beat the goalie far side off the bar and in for a really, really beautiful goal. And just watching Olofsson, I know that he's only been here 7 games, but I watched him a little bit when he was in Sweden. He is really a fun guy to watch. He's a guy that you pay attention to, and you're going to see little things in his game that just amaze you with the way that he, you know, he has speed that's very underrated. Nothing like, I always said that Nick Baptiste had probably the most underrated speed, because he looks like a guy that when he skates, he takes these really long, powerful strides, but he doesn't look like a guy that skates with speed. But then next thing you know, he'll blow by you in a second and he's gone. He doesn't have that surprising speed. He just has the speed that can get what he needs to get done. He can take the puck, he can carry the puck, and he can use his speed to get around the defenseman and create some space for him. He's not going to blaze right to the net. He's not a guy that's oftentimes going to take it to the net. He's a guy that's going to put himself in a good spot and try and find a high shot and really get those type of goals, those really nice high shots that, you know, he's not a guy that's going to go to the net and grind for a goal. Very rarely you'll ever see him go to the net and grind for a goal, but it's not like he can't. It's just he's not that type of player. But Victor Olofsson's a lot of fun to watch. If you pay attention to him in a game, of course, he wears number 12 here in Rochester. But if you ever just want to focus on one guy, you'll see that he may not be the fastest of guys. He doesn't have blazing speed, but he definitely has some good wheels. He gets some open space. He can use the speed to be able to get that opening for a chance. He also uses his hands incredibly well, his body incredibly well to protect the puck. He's just a very fun offensive player to watch. And with the rate that he's scoring at, and if he continues to score at a very good rate throughout the rest of the season, it would only be a matter of time before the Sabres organization decide to take a look at him and say, let's put him on a line with, you know, second, third line, something like that. Let's see where he can go and see if he can provide some depth scoring for us. But Victor Olofsson, certainly a guy that is that you're going to want to watch throughout this season in his first season in North America. Next up on the list, Zach Redmond. He leads all American Hockey League defensemen in points. He's got 11 points in 7 games, 4 goals and 7 assists. He's 3rd overall in points in the entire league. But here's the thing. All of his goals have come on the power play, and four of his seven assists have come on the power play as well. So, of course, we know Zach Redmond. He's a guy that is a good puck-moving guy. He skates pretty well, and he's kind of a power play specialist. So you kind of expect that when the Amerks go on the power play, he's going to be out on that first unit or out on that second unit, and he's going to be moving the puck. He's going to kind of be a little bit of that quarterback type of player. So Zach Redmond, of course, 8 of his 11 points on the season have come on the power play. And also, he leads the Americans with 23 shots on goal. So he's a guy that's going to get the puck on net. And he's a guy that will look to find any type of way to get the puck to the net. So with Redmond, of course, I know that some people in Buffalo will be listening to this podcast, so I just want to remind everybody, he's on an AHL contract, a two-year AHL contract signed this offseason. So when it comes to looking at people to possibly recall, you'd have to sign Redmond to an NHL contract in order for him to be able to go up to Buffalo. And then on top of that, I'm not positive on this. I will clarify this, but I believe that if he signs an NHL contract during the season, he'd have to go on waivers and clear waivers in order to be able to go up to the NHL at that point. But I'll double check that for sure. I know he was in the NHL last year, a handful of games with the Sabres. Nothing really impressive about Zach Redmond at the NHL level. Just a guy that can come in and provide a nice, you know, 5-6-7 role on the blue line. But, you know, in the AHL, he's certainly a guy that can dominate with the style of play that he has. He skates well. He plays the puck extremely well. He's going to be a nice veteran presence on the blue line, especially for this young Amerks team. Another defenseman that is gaining a ton of attention, is Lawrence Pilott. Last year, he was the Swedish Hockey League Defenseman of the Year, playing for HV71. And he, so far in six games here in Rochester, he's fourth in overall scoring with 10 points. He's second overall for defenseman, obviously behind his teammate Zach Redmond. He's got 2 goals and 8 assists in six games. Seven of his 10 points have come on the power play. But here's the thing. He's also the highest plus-minus player in the AHL. I know plus-minus is such a... In nowadays, it is such a kind of a useless stat, but I get it. It serves its purpose. It kind of has the, okay, this player was on the ice when they scored at even strength, or this player was on the ice when they scored against on a penalty kill or something like that. He is a +7, which is tied with Dakota Mermis. He's a defenseman for Tucson, but he is a guy that is really, really interesting to watch as well. You kind of watch him and his skating looks a little odd, but it's just his style of skating. He still can skate really well. He's a good fast skater. He can get back into a defensive play if he goes on the offensive rush. When he is going to the offense, he's aggressive. He always wants to kind of jump up on the play and potentially provide some sort of offense. And he moves the puck maybe better than anybody in this organization. I said during the preseason watching him in Buffalo, he might be the second best puck moving guy in the organization, right behind Rasmus Dahlin. And obviously Rasmus Dahlin was the first overall pick this past year, and for a reason. He's a guy that skates really well. He can move the puck from tape to tape with ease and on the fly, which is exactly what this team and this organization needs, both in Buffalo and Rochester. So Lawrence Pilott is a guy that can provide that. And of course, in case you missed it, yesterday, again, we're recording on Saturday, and yesterday they played the Toronto Marlies, got a 5-4 shootout win in Rochester. Pilott was a late scratch. He was supposed to play on the top pairing with Zach Redmond, but he was a late scratch to the lineup, an apparent upper body injury, and there was some speculation and some thought that, well, maybe he's got an early call up to Buffalo this year, because Zach Bogosian and Nathan Beaulieu didn't practice for the Sabres in Los Angeles. But no, he was a late scratch, and there really wasn't anything more discussed about the length of his injury or anything like that. But Lawrence Pilott was a late scratch, and he didn't play yesterday, which is unfortunate, because I going into yesterday's game, I was very, very excited to watch Lawrence Pilott play once again. And he's a guy that's really fun to watch, because you just never know what he's going to do with the puck. You never know how he's going to play, and it's really fun watching him play hockey with the puck. And he was a guy in Sweden last year who, you know, he was jumping up on plays. He was getting the puck, and he knew how to get the puck to net. That's another thing about his game that is just really fun to watch, is just he finds the most ridiculous ways to get the puck to the net, and that's always a good thing. I mean, for a team and for an organization that has been wanting to have a shot mentality, you got to be able to get the puck to the net, and he's able to do that. And Lawrence Pilot is a really, really good defenseman at finding those lanes and really being a guy that can create offense out of nothing. So hopefully he doesn't have anything severely wrong with his upper body injury, but maybe we'll get more of an update later on at some point this week. And maybe next week on the podcast when we talk about Lawrence Pilot, we won't have to worry about an upper body injury or anything like that. He'll hopefully be back in the lineup, and we'll see where that goes with him. Some other player notes here real quick. Alex Nylander, he's got 8 points in 7 games, and he's a point per game player. I think that Nylander, a lot of people have been critical of him just because that, oh, he plays so unmotivated when he's out there. He's just coasting. He doesn't have anything going on. And actually, just real quickly, I did read something here with just a quick search on Twitter that apparently Pilot is just day to day, according to Chris Taylor. So that's something that I did miss. I apologize. I miss some things when I'm on Twitter, but apparently Pilot is just day to day. So we'll see if he's back in the lineup this evening when the Amerks take on Belleville later on tonight in Ontario. But back to Nylander. So Nylander has been very criticized for his play in Rochester since he was here when he was 18 years old. He's only 20 years old right now. But there's one thing about Nylander's play that you cannot deny. You can't deny the fact that he is more engaged, that he looks more in the game and in every play than he has in his entire career. He's a guy that is not afraid to go into puck battles anymore. He's not afraid to be a little more anticipatory with certain plays. Like, I mean, if he thinks that there's going to be a pass that goes this way, he's going to go that way. That's the type of playmaking ability and hockey IQ that he was regarded for when he was coming out of juniors playing with Mississauga when the Sabres drafted him 8th overall in 2016. It's those type of things that he's trying to get back to. And I think that, you know, this offseason he really worked at it. I personally thought he should have made the Sabres roster, but they decided to keep Tage Thompson and send Nylander back here, which is not a bad thing. And he's taking it with stride. He could have easily just said, well, I deserve to be in Buffalo, kind of given the Luke Adam treatment where it's like, I could have easily been back in Buffalo. I should be back in Buffalo. Why am I here? Nylander's not doing that. He's playing, and he's playing, you know, he's doing things well in stride. He's taking everything in stride. And I think he's been playing very admirably for what he's capable of. And I think he's put the work in here. He's got 8 points in 7 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. And I think those numbers are only going to improve from here. A couple of other players that I wanted to bring up. Danny O'Regan has 6 points in 7 games, 4 goals, 2 assists. 2 of those goals coming on Friday night against Toronto. And then one other player that I wanted to bring up was CJ Smith, just some notable players. He also has 6 points in 7 games with 3 goals and 3 assists. So look at the rest of the stats for the players here. Just not a lot of other things going on. I mean, there's been some players that have stood out more than others, but you know, there, it's not like that one player doesn't produce and then, you know, you point it and it's just like, well, they're struggling. They're not playing that well. I mean, like Will Borgen's played in all 7 games and only has 1 point. But I think Will Borgen's been solid on the blue line coming in, playing his first full professional career. I think he's looked relatively good playing on the blue line for the Amerks. He's been solid in his own end. And I think that, you know, he is doing everything he needs to do to continue to progress his game out there. He's playing a really tough, difficult time in the defensive zone, making things tough for everyone else on the opposition, at least. And he's, you know, trying to contribute offensively. Another one that is like Rasmus Asplund. He's just a rookie. He's playing his first year in North America. He just picked up his first assist the other day. And, you know, he's played all 7 games and only has 1 point, but he's the center for the line of Victor Olofsson and Danny O'Regan that has been on fire lately. So Rasmus Asplund is getting more ice time. He's been getting more chances to come in and play some pivotal roles. I know that he has played a little bit on the power play and a little bit on the penalty kill here and there, but his role is only going to grow. So You know, and also guys like Gouley and Justin Bailey and even Jack Doherty. I mean, Jack Doherty's only played two games, but in the two games that he played, he just was trying to still adjust. He's a guy that's coming in and he's relatively new, but hopefully he'll be able to come back. I know he didn't. He hasn't played in the last five games, so we'll see what's going on there. But four games, I should say. I think he was scratched for the second game off the top of my head. I can't remember. But like Brendan Gouley and Justin Bailey, they've just been doing everything they need to do to continue to play a strong, solid, well-rounded game. But, you know, the Rochester Amherst right now at this point, they're flying. They're playing really well coming off those first two games of the season. The first two games were pretty bad. You know, they were playing Charlotte, a team who might be better than Rochester for sure. They may be deeper. They might have, you know, better play all around. But they're a team that the Amherst knew were coming in were probably going to be better. So the Amherst, I think, were just trying to do a little too much. They were trying to be something they weren't. And when that happens, you're going to be a team that tends to give up more mistakes than not. And unfortunately for the Amherst, they were beaten both games, outscored 10-4 in those two games, the Friday and Saturday, the first two games of the season. They both played at Blue Cross Arena. 6-2 was the final on Friday night. 4-2 was the final on Saturday night. I think the 4-2 game was probably the better of those two games. The first night, they were making too many mistakes. They were trying to be too aggressive. And Chris Taylor afterwards was pretty adamant about it, saying like, you know, I don't know what guys were doing out there trying to do too much. Then it was opening things up for the other guys, and we're hanging Scott Wedgwood out to dry. And Scott Wedgwood in those two games was quite phenomenal. But since then, the Amherst have been able to pull things together. They've won five straight games. They responded with a 6-3 win over Syracuse that Wednesday after the weekend. Then they went out on the road for a three-game trip in Bridgeport and Utica. And of course, Olofsson was phenomenal during that weekend, scoring both game-winning goals in those games. They were just tough, grinded-out games in Bridgeport. Bridgeport's a really tough team, and the Amherst were able to grind it out. And of course, Olofsson was able to come up huge in both of those games, scoring the last minute on Saturday and then scoring the overtime winner on Sunday. And then Wednesday against Utica was just a dominant performance. Four power play goals, and they were all over Utica the entire night, and they ended up coming out with a big 6-1 victory. And then last night, Friday night, of course, they were back home at Blue Cross Arena to face the defending Calder Cup champion, Toronto Marlies, and they were able to come away with a 5-4 win. They nearly lost. I mean, they had the lead, and they had to go to overtime because they were, you know, Sam Gagne scored with 10 seconds left, but they stuck with it. They came up dry on the power play, but they were just stingy the entire time. They didn't have a great first period. They came out a little slow. They got outshot 16-8, but then they came back the next two periods and they were able to come away with a big win, and they were able to put up their fifth straight win, and now they will look for six straight wins against Belleville tonight. And we'll go over the schedule coming up here in just a little bit. But we'll take a quick timeout on the podcast, and when we come back, we'll have Victor Olofsson joining me on the All Americans podcast. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. Welcome back into the All Americans podcast right here on ESPNRochester.com and also at WGR550.com. Joining me right now on the podcast might be one of the hottest players in the American Hockey League through the first handful of games here, and he's also the reigning AHL Player of the Week. Our guest is Amherst forward Victor Olofsson. Victor, thank you again for joining us here on the podcast, and first off, congratulations on the week of hockey you had, and also with the win over the Comets.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how has your first number of weeks been in North America spent with the Amherst here?
It's been great. I had a lot of fun. So we had a tough start as a team with the first two games. So we lost the first two. So, but after that, I think we've been playing really good, and it's been working out for us so far.
Now, of course, you're just getting started with your career here in North America, but how's that transition been for you from playing in Sweden for several years now to coming over and just getting started in a whole new environment in North America?
It's a little bit new. It's a little bit different than I'm used to. Obviously the ice is a lot smaller. It's a little bit tighter. You don't have as much time and space with the puck. And the game itself, it plays a little bit different too. It's more of a straight forward. You just take the puck to the net always. So back in Sweden, I think there's a little bit more puck possession. If you don't really have anything, you might turn back and regroup and try to find a way through. So it's a little bit quicker, a little bit more straightforward.
Has that been the hardest thing to transition from in this time so far? Or what has been the toughest thing about that transition for you in just a few weeks you've been here?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part. Just to trying to find the timing when I should jump and join the offense or start the offense. That's right now. It feels really good. Starting to kind of figure it out. Hopefully it will continue.
Victor Olofsson joining me here on the podcast as of course he's the reigning AHL Player of the Week. I remember talking with you back in February, and at the time you had been in contact with the Sabres about possibly coming over and joining the organization starting this season. What was the end of last season like? I know you finished as the goal-scoring leader in the Swedish Hockey League, and how did that process pan out for you as you entered the offseason and transitioning from becoming a Swedish Hockey League player to officially becoming an NHL player?
No, it worked out really good for me last year. Had my best year so far in my career. I was really happy. I think I developed and matured a little bit, and just felt really confident on the ice, and that kind of gave me confidence coming in to this season as well, and coming over here in North America. So I just had a really good summer, just worked hard off the ice, and tried to prepare myself. Came here and felt like I was in good shape, I would say that I think I kind of started off where I left. What did you say last year? So it feels good.
You got the chance to spend, you know, some time with the Sabres this summer for development camp, and then of course it went into the Prospects Challenge, into training camp, and then into the early part of the preseason. What was the main goal for you heading in to everything that was happening in Buffalo, and when you got assigned to Rochester, what was the message for you moving forward in your first year here?
I had as a goal when I came over here to make it make the Sabres roster right away. Obviously that didn't work out as I hoped, but I kind of knew that it was going to be tough as well, trying figure out the North American game a little bit, that's what they told me too. That I got to learn to play the North American style a little bit, become a bit more close to the net, and take everything to the net and fight for rebounds and tips and stuff like that. So that's what I have to work on the most, I think. And I'm trying to improve that every day.
Of course, you're off to a good start here in Rochester, as is the team for that matter. Right now, as of Thursday, for people listening in to the podcast, knowing when we recorded this, you lead the league in scoring with 12 points in the first six games, and you've scored 11 of those points in the past four. What do you feel you've been doing right in this time that has allowed you to be able to have the string of success, and what's been working for you?
I think this last week, I think I kind of found where I should position myself to be able to shoot the puck in from good chances or good spots, and just been trying to take everything to tonight, and I think I will been creating some good chemistry with my line mates, both on the power play and 5-on-5 as well. So obviously that helps a lot and gives you confidence too.
Now, before the season, we talked to a lot of different people here in Buffalo to get to know you a little bit after you had signed your contract. And we talked to people like your head coach in Sweden, Roger Rönnberg. We talked to your former teammate in Sweden, Sean Bergenheim. We've also talked to Uffe Budin, who has followed a lot of you guys over in the Swedish Hockey League. Just a few people that have really talked about you, and each of them have raved about how unique your shot is, and just some have said that your shot may be one of the best shots, and just the quickness the puck gets off with your stick. How did you get so good with your shot? Was it just a lot of practice? Was it just, you know, natural born talent for you? What is it with your shot?
I don't know, actually. I've been I'm just trying to shoot the puck as quickly as I can just to make the goalie so the goalie can come in position. So just trying to shoot it right away. It often makes it a lot harder for the goalies. How I develop my shot is probably I don't know. As a kid, my dad always told me to work on my wrist shot. Maybe a lot of other guys was so if. We're working a lot on their slap shots, but my dad told me that I'm not going to be able to shoot slap shots as much as a forward because I don't have the time for it. So working every practice is just trying to score every chance you got. I think that makes it way easier for you to develop the shot.
Now, that one thing that I've been intrigued with was watching you in the Swedish Hockey League. You had the more space, and you'd be able to have a little bit more open area to shoot, where some of your goals here in North America so far, that space has been able to close up, but you still are able to get off a pretty quick shot. I mean, it's impressive watching how that transition for you is already starting to come in fruition, where, you know, yeah, the space might be closing in a little tighter, but you're still able to get off the shots. I mean, the goals you've scored in Bridgeport, and even the goal you scored against Utica, where you know, you've got that space, it closes in on you, but you're still able to get off that shot. Is that just part of that transition that you've been working through as you've grow your game here?
Yeah, I would say that. The good thing about the small ISO is when you get that puck, wherever you are, or wherever you get the puck, you're always closer to the net than I was in Sweden on the big ice. So every time I get the puck, I'm a little bit closer, which makes it obviously easier to get off, get a good scoring chance. Just trying to shoot it as fast as I can, like I said. And hopefully it will continue to go in.
Did you idolize anybody when you were growing up watching hockey in Sweden? Was it, you know, did you try and mold your game after a certain player?
I was watching obviously a lot of NHL guys as I grew up. I've always had my older brother. He's 3 years older than me, currently playing in the Swedish Elite League too. I always looked up to him and trying to do stuff like he did. One of my favorite players growing up was Pavel Datsyuk as well. And he's maybe one of the most skilled guys that ever played the game. I was just trying to learn some stuff from watching him. Maybe we're not really that similar of a players, but that was one guy I loved watching.
Now, you mentioned your brother. Of course, he is playing professionally in the Swedish Hockey League right now, but your dad also played professionally in Sweden, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. So he did.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was it like? What was life growing up for you in Sweden in a hockey family such as yours?
No, it was great. It turned out really good. It was kind of a natural thing for me to start to play hockey since my dad was playing and my older brother. So I kind of just rolled with them. Also watching a lot of games before I started playing. And I think it's probably been the only thing on my mind to become a professional hockey player since I was a kid. It worked out pretty naturally.
Your dad, he's probably been a big factor in you with your growth and development for your game. How often does he, you know, say something to you, or how many times does he chime in as you're growing to becoming a professional hockey player in North America?
He's always helped me a lot. I had him as a coach from the day I started playing until I was 14, 15. So he's helped me a lot all over these years that I've been playing, and he still does. Maybe not as much as he used to. He kind of lets me do what I do right now. But some, if there is any small situations he can see that he probably think I can do it differently, he will let me know for sure. That's something I appreciate and I will always be thankful for.
Now, going back to your draft year in 2014, how did the Sabres come to find a player like you playing juniors in Modo? And did you have any conversations with the team before drafting you, or was it kind of a surprise when you found out on draft day, oh, I just got drafted?
At the time, we had the Sabres had a scout called Fredrik Andersson, who's an old player and a GM for my youth team and old team, Modo. He was the current scout for them in Sweden. And he I kind of talked to him a little bit, but it kind of it worked out pretty fast because he called. He knows my dad too, and I think he called my dad during the last day of the draft, and just asked a little bit about my size and weight and stuff like that, and that kind of got me thinking a little bit. Maybe they will pick me, but then when it happened was obviously. A big moment. I was really happy about that. I think I was at a golf course. I wasn't even watching the draft. And my brother called me and told me that I've been drafted by the Buffalo. So that was I'm thankful to him too that he probably was the one that made Buffalo pick me.
Amerks forward Victor Olofsson joining us here on the All-Americans podcast, the reigning AHL Player of the Week. Now, going back to February, again, in our chat that we had together, I asked you about the possibility of getting the chance one day to play with Rasmus Dahlin in the NHL. At the time, he was your teammate in Frölunda. And now, of course, he's in the same organization with you after the Sabres won the draft lottery and had the chance to draft him first overall. What was your reaction to the draft lottery day and knowing the Sabres had won the draft lottery? And how does it feel to have him in the same organization with you once again here in Buffalo and in Rochester? I know he's in Buffalo, but it's the same organization, right?
Yeah, of course. No, as soon as I saw Buffalo won the draft lottery, it felt kind of it was kind of obvious that they were gonna pick Dahlin, so I kind of told him right away that hopefully we will play together in North America too. Obviously he's up there right now where I want to be. I will continue working hard, and hopefully one day I might be able to play with him.
to start the year, you're in Rochester, obviously, and you're a part of the young group of Swedes that who are trying to make the NHL along with yourself. You played against a number of these guys in the Swedish Hockey League, but what has it been like now to be in North America, and now you're all teammates here? How has that been, and how's that process gone for you?
No, it's great. I think we all kind of knew each other pretty good. Even before we came over here, we've been playing against each other a lot and playing with each other in the national team as well. So we kind of knew each other good when we got over here, and it's a great great feeling to have such a talented guys playing on the same team as me, and obviously we were starting to become really good friends as well. So it's a good feeling.
Do you have a nickname for your group, or you know, do you have any fun things you like to do together?
Yeah, we enjoy each other's company a lot. So we kind of just hang out every day. And trying to have as much fun as we can when we're not playing hockey. It makes it easier to have such good friends off the ice as well.
When playing against these guys in Sweden, is there one particular player that you play with now that you always didn't like to match up with, or you always thought, man, that's the toughest guy I've had to face off with and play against? Is there anyone in that group that you thought that way?
Yeah, I've only been playing against Lawrence Pilot and Rasmus Asplund. I'm going to have to say Lawrence Pilot, just because the obvious reason that he's a defender and I'm a forward. So we kind of faced off against each other a lot, and obviously the year he had last year, he was the best defenseman in the Swedish Elite League. So it was a lot of fun playing against, and we had some good battles.
Now you're here in Rochester. Chris Taylor is your head coach. What have you gotten to know about him in the short time you've been playing under him, and what has it been like playing for a guy like him behind the bench?
No, he's. I think he's a great coach. He's really, really committed, and he. Even now that we have won four straight games here, he doesn't let us relax too much. He's on us right away if there is anything we need to improve on, which is great. He always tells you if you have to do something better or different, or even if you do something good, he lets you know. So that's perfect. I think he's an easy coach to talk to. If you have any questions, he will be happy to answer them. So I think he's been really good so far, and I think he will keep on improving as well.
I don't know how much you've gotten the chance to get out and explore the area here in the Western New York and Rochester area, but if you have gotten out, is there anything that you like to do, or what have you gotten to like about the area?
I think it's a really good area. I live close to the rink, so I'm not moving around too far. But we've been to some good restaurants. I like to go out and eat and hang out. So there's a lot of good restaurants around here. I've been enjoying that.
You have any favorite hobbies or activities to do in your off time? Are you a music guy, or are you one of those Fortnite guys? Because a lot of people like Fortnite nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. I play Fortnite as well. It's a lot of fun. It makes it easy to, even for me, to talk to my friends back home in Sweden. I can play with guys all over the world, so that's a great thing. It's an easy way to stay in touch, and even if you're playing the game, you can talk about everything. So it's a pretty good way to keep the contact with all the guys and all the friends you have back home.
Now you're in Rochester. Have you gotten the chance, or first thing I should actually ask is, have you heard of a garbage plate yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you tried one yet?
The guy here asked me that question already. I haven't seen it yet. He tried to explain it to me. It sounded like it was a lot of things going on that plate. It might be something I have to try on.
That is one way to put it. Just a lot of things going on that plate. You've got a ton of different, you can get home fries on there, you can get a burger on there, you can get hot dogs on there, and there's pasta in there. It's certainly a lot of carbs and a lot of calories, but it's surprisingly, you wouldn't think that sounds good, but it does. It's just a work of art.
All right, that's great. We'll see when I get the chance to try it out. Maybe when I have a day off or something. But I will try it out at some point.
All right, sounds good. Well, Victor, it was a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time today to have this conversation, and best of luck to you the rest of this season.
All right, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The Rochester Americans are hosting its 11th annual Sweets in the Suites Halloween celebration on Saturday, October 27th, when the Amerks take on the Laval Rocket at 7:05 at Blue Cross Arena. Kids are encouraged to come dressed in their favorite Halloween costumes for the game. The first 1,000 fans ages 12 and under will receive a bag for trick-or-treating. Children ages 12 or younger will also have the opportunity to trick or treat on the suite level during an intermission to collect treats, as well as the chance to participate in costume-themed promotions to win prizes throughout the game. Tickets for kids ages 12 and under can be purchased for just $10 by visiting amerks.com/suites, with additional tickets for adults available for just $12. Our thanks again to Victor Olofsson for taking the time out of his busy schedule to have a chat on the All Americans podcast. Welcome back in. Brayton Wilson here with you, going through the pilot episode of the All Americans podcast right here on ESPNRochester.com and WGR550.com. So the Amerks, they are winners of five straight games. And as we're recording here on Saturday, they'll look for win number six when they take on the Belleville Senators at 7:00 in Belleville, Ontario. One thing I did forget to mention with the Amerks in the last segment beforehand, the goaltending. The goaltending, when you look at paper, when you look at the stats, you think that's not great goaltending. But I do have to say, I think that both Adam Wilcox and Scott Wedgwood have been very good in net for the Amerks so far through the start of the season. Of course, Wilcox has played in two games, whereas Scott Wedgwood has started five. And for Wedgwood, he's got a 3.59 goals against and an 8.88 save percentage. But it doesn't look like he's been struggling at all on the ice. In fact, I think he's been doing more of keeping the Amerks in games than he has been doing a disservice to them with giving up some bad goals or whatnot. But same thing with Adam Wilcox. So looking at his stats, 2.48 goals against, which is better. He's got two wins, and then the save percentage is flat at 900, but, 0.900, I should say. But I think both goalies have done their jobs with trying to keep the Amerks in games, not giving up some very bad goals. I think that both Wilcox and Wedgwood have been very solid in that. And, if the Amerks are going to keep winning the way they are and they're going to keep playing as well as they are, goaltending is going to be a very big factor for the Amerks in their success moving forward, and with the hopes of them being able to continue on with their run to a possible Calder Cup. Of course, first they got to get to the playoffs, so that's just one thing. All right, let's take a look around the AHL, and I just want to get some rundowns on how everything is looking so far through the first handful of games here in the American Hockey League. Let's start off with, of course, the North Division, as the Amerks are sitting right up at the top through seven games, 5-2-0-0. That is their record. They've got 10 points, which is the most in the division. And, of course, as we had mentioned beforehand, they've got the most goals for this season with 28. And it's pretty remarkable, though, because the next team that is, up on the goals for list, and I think second here, as I just double-check real quick my information, yeah, they're second in the entire league. Toronto, the Toronto Marlies, who the Amerks played, of course, yesterday. They've got 26 goals for this season, and they only have one win to account for it. One win. However, they have struggled this year. They have given up 32 goals, which is the most in the American Hockey League. So it's while the Marlies have been finding ways to score, they've been finding more ways to give up goals than they have been putting the puck in the back of the net for their own sake. So the Marlies are sitting right at the bottom of the division with 3 points with a 1-4-0-1 record. And then, of course, Saturday's opponent, Belleville. They are 2-3-0-0 with 4 points through five games. They've been scoring more than they've been giving up, so they've had 16 goals and have only given up 13, but they have lost their last game. And their last game, of course, was on Friday night when they faced Binghamton on home ice, and the Binghamton Devils were able to, they weren't facing Binghamton, the Hartford Wolfpack. They were facing Hartford, and the Wolfpack came in and claimed a 4-3 win on Belleville's home ice. So Binghamton, of course, in the North Division as well. They're right in the middle along with the Laval Rocket and the Utica Comets with 6 points. And then right after them is Syracuse at six. They're 2-2 through four games, 4 points in the standings. And then right behind the Amerks in second in the North Division, the Cleveland Monsters right now, the Columbus Blue Jackets affiliate, six games played, 4-2-0-0 is their record, 8 points. The only other team in the entire American Hockey League with 10 points, of course, as we mentioned, the Charlotte Checkers. They are perfect 5-0-0-0 on the season through five games. They've won every game. They've scored 22 goals and have gotten some very stellar goaltending, only giving up 11 goals this season, which actually is the third fewest amount of goals allowed this year. Of course, the Bakersfield Condors and the Chicago Wolves have given up less, but they've only played four games, whereas Scranton Wilkes-Barre has been given up only 10 goals, but Scranton Wilkes-Barre and Charlotte have both played five games, whereas a lot of the other teams, Rochester is one that has played seven, and there are only a few teams that have played seven, including Hartford, Hershey, and Utica. Those are the only teams, including Rochester, that have played seven games this year. But at the Atlantic Division, Charlotte is right up at the top with 10 points through five games. Hartford is second with 9 points through seven games. And then the rundown from there includes Scranton Wilkes-Barre, Springfield, Bridgeport, Lehigh Valley, Providence, and the Hershey Bears. Into the Western Conference, the worst division, arguably the worst division, is the Central Division, as Grand Rapids and San Antonio sit right at the bottom with just one win on the season. Remarkably, through the start of the year, there's been no teams that have gone winless to start the year. There are a handful that have only won one, but not too many of them. Hershey's only won one. Toronto's only won one. San Antonio and Grand Rapids have only won one. And then Stockton is the only other team in the Pacific Division that has won one. But other than that, actually, Ontario has two, but Ontario has played six games. They have two overtime losses and one shootout loss. So please forgive me that I got that wrong. But, I mean, the divisions out west, not looking great. But, in the Central, it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee is probably the powerhouse team of that division. They're, of course, the Nashville Predators affiliate. Four wins, one loss, and one overtime loss for 9 points. And then from there in the Central, it is Chicago, Texas, Iowa, Rockford, Manitoba, San Antonio, and Grand Rapids. And then in the Pacific Division, it is the Tucson Roadrunners, the affiliate of the Arizona Coyotes that are right up the top there. They have four wins this year and one shootout loss. San Jose Barracuda, they also have four wins and a shootout loss at 9 points. And then from there, it's the Colorado Eagles, the brand new affiliate of the Avalanche, the Ontario Reign, the San Diego Gulls, the Bakersfield Condors, and, of course, Stockton, the Heat, the affiliate of the Calgary Flames. So that's your look around the league. Some of your stats from around the league, getting you updated there. Right now, currently, of course, it's Victor Olofsson right at the top with 13 points. Zach Redmond is third. Lawrence Pilot is fourth. But then here's some of the other leaders around the NHL. Goals. Reed Boucher leads the league in goals. By far, he's got 9 goals this year, 11 points, so he's second in the league in scoring overall, but he's leading in goal scoring with 9 goals through 7 games so far this year. Reed Boucher putting up a pretty good performance with the Utica Comets. Right after that in the goal department, it's a tie, three-way tie, actually four, between Victor Olofsson, Nicholas Waugh, who was stellar in the two games that he played in Rochester to start the year, Zach Delpy with Cleveland, he's got 5, and then Adam Haluka, I think I'm saying that right, Adam Haluka with Tucson. He's also got 5 goals. Points-wise, of course, Reed Boucher, as we mentioned, he's second in the AHL with 11 points. Then after that, it's Rocco Grimaldi rounding out the top 5 with Milwaukee. He's got 4 goals and 5 assists in 6 games. Guy that the Amerks will be facing on Saturday, Drake Batherson, the rookie. He's got 9 points in 5 games for Belleville. And he's also tied with Williamsville native Andrew Podorowski from Charlotte with 9 points in 5 games. And then Harry Zolnarczyk also right up there, 9 points in 5 games for the Springfield Thunderbirds. So that also, and then also rounding out the top 10, just 2 more in the top 10. Tied for 9th, there's a number of players, but according to the AHL website, they've got Sheldon Rampel from Ontario, 4 goals, 4 assists, a number of guys with 4 goals, 4 assists, actually. But also one of those guys amongst the leaders tied for 9th place in scoring, Alex Nylander, 3 goals and 5 assists in 7 games, 8 points. So he's one of the players that have 8 points throughout the year. And again, it's very early. Next, when we do our next podcast in a couple of weeks here, that is very likely to change, and we could see a change of everything going on right now once we talk again in the next couple of weeks. But looking ahead now to the Rochester Amerks schedule, as of course we've mentioned already plenty of times so far in the podcast here, the Amerks will be playing the Belleville Senators coming up Saturday night, tonight, whenever you're listening here. That will be a 7 o'clock faceoff from Belleville, Ontario. They're going for win number 6 on the season and win number 6 in a row. And then after that, they come home for a 3-game homestand. They're home next Friday to take on Utica for a second time in 4 games. Then, of course, as we met on the 27th of October, the Saturday the 27th, it's the Laval Rocket coming to town, another North Division rival. That's also Sweets in the Sweets night, if you missed the liner earlier on. And then on November 2nd, which I believe is a Wednesday, let me just double check real quick. Nope, that's a Friday. So after this weekend, again, we're recording on a Saturday, they'll play next week, Friday, Saturday. And then the week after that, they'll play Friday, Saturday. So November 2nd, they're home to close out their 3-game homestand against Hershey. And then the next night, they go to Hershey, and they'll close out a home-and-home series with them before the Amerks head to Buffalo to play at KeyBank Center in front of the Buffalo fans. And they'll take on the Cleveland Monsters for a matchup at KeyBank Center. And, of course, you can find those tickets and tickets available for that game available at tickets.com. And, of course, you can also contact the KeyBank Center ticket office in order to buy tickets for that game as well. But the Amerks, again, looking for win number 6 on the season on Saturday against Belleville. And then from there, they could easily win some more games. They could continue on with their winning. And perhaps, and I'm not, again, I'm going to say this right now and take this with a grain of salt, but perhaps their next biggest challenge is going to be Cleveland, who currently sits at this point right now, 2nd in the North Division in the standings, right behind Rochester. But the Amerks so far are looking pretty decent off with their schedule. A quick update on the Sabres right now. As we speak with this podcast right now, they're actually playing in Los Angeles. So after the Los Angeles game, they will play in Anaheim on Sunday night before returning home for their next game on Thursday when they host the Montreal Canadiens at KeyBank Center. But I want to close out the podcast here with a couple of questions here that were sent in from some of the listeners and some of the viewers on Twitter. We've got I hope that there's a lot of listeners, but we haven't had anyone yet just because the time of recording, we don't have a podcast as of right now. But once this is up and once you've listened to this, you can always write in questions or comments, and we'll get that hopefully taken care of on the air at some point. But you're always welcome to tweet at me at BJWilsonWGR, and you could always hashtag your question or comment, hashtag All Americans. We'll start doing that from now on. But this one from Nicole. She's asking, how is Andrew Ogilvie doing? And is there a lesser known player on the team either currently having success or you think could break out due to play thus far? Well, unfortunately for Andrew Ogilvie, he hasn't played since their series in Bridgeport because he is dealing with an undisclosed injury. I don't think they did disclose what that injury was for him, but unfortunately for Ogilvie, he's played 4 games, so he left during the first game of that Bridgeport series. He played the first period, left. He had an undisclosed injury. He did not return, and he has yet to play since. And we don't necessarily know at this point what exactly is wrong with him, how long he'll be out. But a guy like Ogilvie, in the first four games, didn't really notice much of him, but that's kind of his game. You kind of watch him. He just does the little things right, and he's not flashy. He's not a guy that's going to stand out big time, but he's a guy that is just going to be a very solid playmaker. He's going to do everything right for you when you need to have happen, or when you need something right to go for you. You know, 5'10", 181 pounds, not that big, but he plays a good, solid, strong, fast game. And when he was at Notre Dame watching their games, especially when like Cal Peterson was there and he was still part of the Sabres organization, we were watching, you know, watching those games. You can notice Ogilvie. He did kind of stick out. But again, he sticks out just because he always seems to have the puck on his stick. He's always trying to do something. And maybe he doesn't stick out super. I mean, I mentioned that he didn't stick out a lot. He can stick out. Let me rephrase that. He can stick out. He doesn't often stick out, but when he does, it's like, oh, wow, what a play. That was an incredible play. He does some good things, and, you know, he skates well. He's a good puck handler and just a guy that, you know, he's going to be a nice little depth piece to Rochester here, maybe eventually in the future, maybe in Buffalo. He's just going to be a nice depth player, a good second, third line player that can certainly chime in and chip in on the first unit, but certainly it's unfortunate that he has the injury that he does. Hopefully he'll get back to health soon and be back out on the ice as well. And honestly, I think Ogilvie is one of those players, as you asked, with being a player that could think of break out. He's a guy that I think has the opportunity to break out. Looking at the rest of the roster here, just looking forward, I think that I definitely want to see a little bit more from a guy like Rasmus Asplund. He's getting there. I think he's slowly picking up stuff that he was. I mean, he looked like he was playing really well during training camp and during the Prospects Challenge, and then the preseason he looked okay. But you could definitely tell he wasn't exactly there quite yet. And in the past couple of games, he's picking it up. He's picking up the speed. He's picking up how things are going in both ends, how things kind of work here in North America. And he's been getting more opportunities. He's been playing a little bit of power play. I think he's been playing a little bit of penalty kill. So I think that if he continues to play as well as he has in the couple of games, I think he's bound to break out. And I think that we could easily see him getting a lot of minutes playing here in Rochester. And we'll see where it goes the rest of the year. But I'm really looking forward to watching Rasmus Asplund continue to play a strong game, especially if he continues to play like he has over the past couple of games. And our last question of this podcast comes from Matt. Matt says, how do teams balance keeping players down to develop and bringing them up to help a struggling NHL club? Players such as Olofsson and Nylander come to mind. Matt, this is a really good question because, you know, over the past few years, it's been a struggle for the Buffalo Sabres in the NHL. They enter the trade deadline, they trade away some assets, and then they kind of have to fill some holes on the roster because, you know, hey, we need to fill a roster. We need to have 23 players here at the NHL, 22 players, whichever one it is, and we have to be able to put a team out there. And Rochester is obviously where they're going to get some of those players, especially if they trade. And I'm just using this as an example, but I'll get to your point in just a second, but when you got that happening, you're going to see some of those players. Like last year, we saw Brendan Gulley, Casey Nelson up in the NHL for a good chunk of time. And also at one point, Alex Nylander towards the later part of the season, he goes up to the NHL, gets some time. And then they all come back to the AHL right after the NHL season is done. They play the last few games here in Rochester before, hopefully, the playoffs start. And they get back to the playoffs. I mean, that's the key this time around is they have to get back to the playoffs. But in your situation here with just a struggling NHL club, a team that isn't already out of it, it's difficult because you look at the Sabres right now and how they're built and you see what is going on right now in Rochester where they're winning, they're scoring goals, they're putting up good production, whereas the Sabres, they're struggling on the power play. They're struggling to score goals and generate offense and be able to put up some decent numbers. And it's tough because you want to see those guys in the NHL. You think that could be a good upgrade to see an Olofsson or a Nylander. I personally thought Nylander was going to make the roster right out of training camp. He didn't, but he took everything that he was given and told, and he continues to work on it here in Rochester. And until he's ready to come up, which, you know, could be soon, it could be a couple months, I don't know. I made the bold prediction at WGR550.com right before the season started that Nylander would be back up in Buffalo by Thanksgiving. And I still think that's a possibility as long as he continues to perform. I mean, he's on a six-game point streak. Yeah, he's got points in six games, 8 points in six games. So Nylander has been looking pretty good for the Amerks through this point. I think Nylander is not a guy who's going to be flashy. He's not a guy that's going to stand out and be eccentric with his game. He's a guy that's very reserved. He just goes out there and he just makes the subtle plays, and that's what he's doing. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. And as for Victor Olofsson, I think we all just need to, you know, let him be here. Let him develop his game here a little bit more and let him work on getting fully accustomed to the North American game, because I don't think the right thing to do would be to rush him to the NHL and then him be completely overwhelmed. I don't know if that would be the case, but you know, let him be down here, let him dominate, let him continue to score, and then eventually if he continues that pace, if they think he's ready, then call him up. I think a guy that could easily go up at this point right now and play at the NHL is a guy like CJ Smith. I think that he's a guy that over the past year and a half has shown that he's got good size, he's got some adequate speed, and his playmaking ability would be enough to help the Sabres out right away. Justin Bailey's another guy. Obviously, he's been up and down for the past few years, but if the Sabres were ever to need a guy like a Bailey, they could easily call him up, and they know he could be ready to go right away. But some of the younger players, you might just want to let them sit a little bit. You might want to let them get their confidence up and let them dominate here and then be able to call him up when he's ready and when he is at that point in his time in Rochester where it's just like, okay, we've seen enough. I think it's time for him to come up, and hopefully he could do exactly what he's doing in the AHL, all the right things, and come up to the NHL right away and be able to produce at the rate that he has. So, Matt, thank you for the question. Or Nicole, also, thank you for your question as well. And again, this is just episode number one. This is the pilot episode. If there's anything that I missed, is there anything that, you know, you want more of? If there's something that you want me to talk about in the next podcast, please, 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 please let me know. Tweet me at BJWilsonWGR. You can always hit me up there. Again, if you think the email idea is a great idea with an email address that, you know, you could send your questions or comments in, and it could be unlimited, like, you know, Twitter's only, what, 280 characters now. If you want something like that, let me know. Send me a tweet. Send me something that's saying, hey, that email idea is a good idea. Can you please set that up? And I'd be happy to do it. I'd be happy to do that. Or if there's any other unique idea, please feel free to contact me. Feel free to let me know what you want to see from the podcast moving forward here, because I really want to do this for you guys. I want the listeners to be able to be informed and to be able to know what's going on down here and get some really cool insight from behind the scenes what's going on. But again, thank you for everybody for tuning in to this first pilot episode of the All Americans podcast. Again, this is going to be probably an every other week sort of thing unless there's a certain situation that comes up. I don't know. Maybe the Amerks, maybe a player comes in for the Amerks, you know, the Sabres sign into an entry-level contract, one of their higher up prospects or something comes in and people want to know more about this kid, or people want to know about what's going on, you know, or how he's been playing. Maybe we'll do a podcast then, but anything that comes up, I'm always open to doing a podcast. But until then, this is probably going to be an every other week sort of podcast. But again, I thank everybody for taking the time to click, to listen in. Thanks again to Victor Olofsson for taking the time to join me to talk on the very first episode of the All Americans podcast. Again, the reigning AHL Player of the Week. And we'll see if he repeats as champion. He did have 4 points against Utica and an additional point against the Marlies on Friday night. So on Saturday, they might be able to, you know, let's see if he can put up some more points and maybe repeat as AHL Player of the Week. But good for Victor Olofsson. Thanks again for him for joining us and everyone else. Thanks again for listening in. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks where we will, of course, recap everything that's been going on with the Amerks, with the Sabres. Anything that you want us to talk about, please feel free to let us know. Let me know what you want to hear on the All Americans podcast. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next time.